Please remain standing for the reading of God's holy word from the book of Job. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." From the Gospel of Matthew. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The word of the Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. O great God, as your infallible and inerrant word has been read, we pray now, Lord, that you'd speak to us not only through the written word and the read word, but Lord, your word now to be proclaimed. That, Lord, that you'd give me, Lord, the words to speak and to expound on your word, to proclaim and to exhort your people, Lord, through your word. Lord, we pray for eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray, Lord, for spiritual discernment, as the author of Hebrew reminds us, which is a mark of maturity. So, Father, we pray for all of this morning. In Christ we pray. Amen and amen. Several years ago, construction workers were laying a foundation for a building right outside the city of Pompeii. You know what city that is, the famous city of Mount Vesuvius. They found, when they were doing that, a corpse of a woman who must have been fleeing from the eruption of Mount St. Helens. This woman was caught, in the fire, the ash. And as they looked upon this woman that was caught, the woman's hands were clutching something. They're clutching jewels and jewelry that she had fled with. And she was running away, and they had been preserved. Now, she had the jewels in her hands, but unfortunately, death had taken her away. You know, in reality, that's the bottom line. Worldly treasures and possessions is not a wise investment because you can't take it with you. You know, if we got word right now that all of Steubenville was about to be destroyed in some sort of catastrophe, what would be the first thing that you would take with you? It wouldn't be jewelry, but it would be if jewelry was your treasure. And that was the problem with this lady. You remember the story of Jim Elliot, the great missionary? You know, what shocks me about his life is that I didn't know this until later, that Jim Elliot and his other comrades, missionaries, that when they went out to evangelize as missionaries to the Indians in South America, that they went there with guns. They were prepared to use them and protect themselves. When the tribe of Indians went to kill them, they knew they were about to die. Instead of using the guns, they decided not to. You know why? They knew that if they had shot one of the Indians, they knew that they would die and go to a devil's hell, because the only way of salvation is through Christ and Christ alone. They knew that their religion of nature had corrupted them and their ideas of God. So they decided to allow them to kill them, knowing that they would die and meet their Maker. That's a powerful testimony of what it means to be a Christian. This quote from Jim Elliot has always struck me, especially in light of how he lived his life. You all may know this quote. The quote says this. It says, "A person is no fool to give up what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose." Is that true? That's no fool. But isn't the opposite true? The opposite is, a person is foolish to hold on tightly to what you'll eventually lose, that you can't keep. How many of us live our lives that way? The things that we hold on to so desperately, knowing it's just a matter of time before we lose them. Job knew this very well. Remember the story of Job? Satan came to Job and said, "Hey, God, Satan came to God and said, "Hey, I heard about your servant Job here. The only reason that he obeys you, the only reason he sticks around, the only reason he still worships you is because you have a protection. You take the hedge away from him, I know he'll curse you." And God said, well, in fact, God was bragging on Job. And God says, okay, but you can't take his life. And what happened to Job? His property was taken. His family was taken. And what else? Eventually his health was taken. Read what Job said here. In light of all this, Job says in Job 121, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. How would you end that? Cursed be God? Listen to what Job says. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of us here this morning could say that? Let's be honest. If I gave a raise of hands, how many of you would say, blessed be God, or the opposite, cursed be God? Let's just be honest, we all are like that. You know, me as a preacher, one of the things I hate the most is false teachings. And I hate the prosperity gospel probably more than liberalism. Liberal theology is straight from the pit of hell. It rejects the deity of Jesus, rejects the atonement of Christ, all the basic doctrines, it changes them around. Can't stand it. But the prosperity gospel, I can't stand even more because it's more subtle. I heard a preacher this morning say this. He said, God wants you to have heaven here on earth. And he quoted the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I don't know where he got that goofy interpretation. But I thought to myself, you know, as much as I hate the prosperity gospel, you know really why I hate it? Probably the same reason you should hate it. Because by default, we are all prosperity gospel people. How do I know that? When God gives us good gifts, what do? Blessed be the name of the Lord. But what happens when God takes good gifts from us? What do? Do we say it's with Job, blessed be the name of the Lord, or do we curse God? Well, maybe not curse God. Do we grumble? Has anybody ever grumbled and complained when God took things from you? Anyone? By default, we're all like that. So what should we do? These words from Jesus are used as a correction to that. I'm going to get later on more on what I mean. But Jesus uses to correct us. Jesus says here this morning, quote, what? Do not store up treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Did you hear what the Lord said? Don't trust in those things, because they're not going to last. Jesus, when he shared this axiom, so to speak, it seems self-evident. But when he shared this, understand that back during the times of Christ, there was no such thing as governmental bailout. It didn't exist. There was no such thing as social security. It did not exist. It may not exist in the next few years either. Something like banks did not exist. There was no FDIC to secure your funds. So what did the ancient people do when they had wealth? Where did they place it? Well, people would hide it away in their homes. They would hide it away in their walls. Usually the houses were clay, and they would cut them out, hide them in the walls, and cover it back up. That was usually the way. And in medieval Europe, kings would store their treasure in their bedchambers. You ever wondered why institutions of finances are all called sometimes chambers, like chambers of commerce? That's where that comes from. People in the ancient world would usually, as I said, dig a hole in their wall or dig a hole in the backyard, and they would bury their wealth, but there was an obvious problem. Treasure in the form of clothing would be subject to corruption by little critters and creepy crawlers that would eat it up. This is what Jesus meant by the idea of the moth and rust. Rust literally means eating. And also, Jesus was very aware, so was his people of his time, of thieves that would break into homes. And they were steal things that were hidden, treasure. So in the ancient world, one's wealth was either eaten up or it was stolen. The relationship in the ancient world between one's life and one's wealth was more, even more volatile than the relationship between Wall Street and Main Street. A huge disconnect. So we are not unfamiliar with that, are we? It's like with the ancient world, they can lose all of their goods all of a sudden. The same thing can happen to us. So what should we do? Well, this morning, if you would, let's look at this teaching of Jesus. First, let's look at what Jesus tells us not to do. I title this portion of my notes, Dehortation. That comes actually from the Puritans. Dehortation is the opposite of exhortation. Exhortation is, this is what God beseeches you to do. And a dehortation is what God tells you what not to do. So let's look at what Jesus tells us not to do. And then from there, let's look at what we should do. So what does Jesus say? Jesus prohibits, quote, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Now the obvious point is this. It is patently and self-evidently ridiculous to treasure things in life that you will lose. Now, does this mean that we should not secure wealth? We shouldn't have banks, no savings account, no 401k? Is that what Jesus is talking about? Obviously not, by no means. What Jesus is talking about is not the condemnation of wealth. The Bible doesn't condemn wealth. Wealth is, in fact, a neutral term. Understand, the goodness and the badness of wealth hinges on its use and motivation. Understand that motive is what is central here in Jesus' teaching. Questions like this, you can ask yourself this. Why do I accumulate wealth? What's the purpose? What is the motive behind my procurement? Do I accumulate wealth in order to gain honor, status, worldly success? Do we accumulate wealth thinking that the wealth will be a point of security? That you accumulate, if I can win or gain or earn $1 million, I will be secure in life. If that's the reason, then we have a problem. You know why? Jesus says here, we are holding on to that. We are grasping onto that which we will eventually lose. Jesus says this, that one day all of our earthly possessions will perish and will be gone forever. And since that is the fact, a man who spends his entire life accumulating this stuff may himself be saved. You know, there's a lot of foolish Christians. Amen. I'm one of them. We may be saved, but we will have nothing to show for it when we get to heaven. Do you all want to be one of those Christians that get to heaven with the skin of your teeth? Listen to what Paul says here, 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest on the day. That's talking about the day of the Lord, when the Lord returns, and will disclose it, because it will be revealed by the fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If, however, anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. That's the problem here. Jesus here is addressing believers, Christians. He's telling us one day we're going to have a reward, but if we store up treasure simply here on earth, when we get to heaven, we will have nothing to show for it. There's a story of an old miser. He had to learn that the hard way. As the story goes, the old miser called a doctor and a lawyer and a minister. to his deathbed. "They say you can't take it with you," said the dying man, "but I'm going to try it anyway." He says, "I have three envelopes with 30,000 cash in each one. I want each of you to take an envelope," he says, "and as they lower my dead body into the ground with the casket," he says, "I want each of you to toss in the envelope as requested." So the day came, and each man tossed the envelope as requested. But on the way home, the minister confessed this. He says, "I needed the money for the church, so I took out just $10,000 and threw out the $20,000. Threw that in the grave." The doctor said, "I too must confess, I'm building a clinic, so I took $20,000 and just threw in $10,000 in the grave." Of course, the lawyer castigated them. The lawyer said, "Gentlemen, I am ashamed of you. I threw in an IOU for the full amount, and I'm good for it all." The miser, he had no idea that would happen, did he? Do we have any control over what we have once we're dead? And we think we do. That's what they make wills for. But wills are always contended, fought over. That's what we have lawyers for sometimes, right? But I want us to notice something here about Jesus. Notice Jesus doesn't use the word just money. He uses the word treasure. Treasure. That it means to treasure something is to hold on, to grasp with a strong devotion, something that we love with all of our heart. Treasure is an all-embracing term. Treasure includes money, but it includes so much more. In fact, the word treasure here is a synonym for the word mammon. Big M, mammon. If you look to Matthew 6:24, we'll get to that later on in a few weeks. Watch what Jesus says in Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." Watch. You cannot serve God and what else? Mammon. When you look at that, that's big M mammon. Now, if you go back, mammon in the early days in Hebrew originally meant this, quote, "that which is entrusted." That's what mammon is. Someone gives you something and you're a steward, you're entrusted to it, to protect it. That's the idea of mammon. Mammon early on in the Hebrew language was a passive verb. Later on, the idea of mammon became perverted. It became an action verb later on. It became this, quote, "that in which a man trusts." See the big difference there? That's what mammon is, and that's what treasure is. Treasure, in this context, is mammon in the latter sense, that is, designated as a god, small g. That's why Jesus says, you can't serve God, big G, and mammon, which is small g. So what is mammon? It could be our home. What happens when we lose our homes? It could be a car. It could be a vacation. Mammon can be our bank account. It can be our clothing. It can be our investments. You ever wondered why during the stock market crash of the Great Depression, men were jumping out of windows to their death? Why? Because the stocks were their gods. It was that in which they had entrusted their life to. And if your treasure goes down, you go down what? With it. This is what Jesus means when he says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Please get this. If your treasure is on earth, then your heart will be bound and ruled by earthly things. Does that make sense? If your treasure is on earth, then your heart, in the Bible, the heart is you. It's your inner man. It's all of you. And if your treasure is bound on earth, then all of you will be bound on earth and ruled by the things of earth. But conversely this, Jesus says also that teaches us about our treasure in heaven. If our treasure is in heaven, then our heart will be bound and ruled by heavenly things. Earthly treasure pulls down. Heavenly treasure lifts us up. This takes us to our second point. If heavenly treasure lifts us up, what does that mean? Listen to what Jesus says there in verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now I want us to think, why heaven? What's this issue of heaven? Well, as opposed to earth, heaven is secure, unlike earth. That whatever we store up in heaven, Jesus is saying, no one or nothing can get hold of it. In fact, when Jesus comes for us, he says he will bring with him what we have been storing up in heaven. Right now, as we store up treasure in heaven, it's accumulating. And Jesus says, when I come back, I'll bring it with me. In Revelation 22:12, it says this, Behold, I am coming, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. Jesus is talking about payback in the good and the bad way. In other words, Jesus is going to bring one judgment based on how people have lived their lives. And secondly, Jesus will bring a reward for those of us who have been storing treasure in heaven. But you say to yourself this morning, how do we store up treasure in heaven? Would you like to know that? Would you like to have some treasure in heaven, by the way? Or do you all want it here? Well, how do we store up treasure in heaven? Watch. The first thing we do is this, is motives. Motives matter for us. Let me read 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that the Lord will receive, you will receive the Lord's inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that? Paul says here simply that our motives matter. So in whatever we do, if we do it with the right motive, that's a means of storing up treasure. So that means we can be doing something good, but if it's with the wrong motive, we're not storing up treasure. But motive is not the only thing, too. A second thing behind storing up treasure is sacrifice. Sacrifice. What does the Bible say when it speaks of sacrifice? A lot of us think that we have to sacrifice big things, that only big sacrifices really, really matter. You know, people like Jim Elliot, who gave his life, who died. Those are the type of rewards we'll have. It's the little things that don't matter. But in fact, did you know the Bible teaches that even little sacrifices matter? Jesus, in fact, said in Matthew 10:42, what does he say? And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his what? His reward. What's a sacrifice? Sacrifice can be anything. Have you ever been inconvenienced before? Anyone? And if you're inconvenienced to help somebody, you help them anyway, but you have the bad attitude. Anyone's done that? You just ruined your reward. The Bible tells us, and Christ says, that when we sacrifice, whether it's a big sacrifice or a little inconvenience, that if we do it with the right attitude, that is one of the ways we store up treasure in heaven. What Jesus is saying is that we will be rewarded in eternity according to our motive, according to our sacrifice, but also according to the quality of life that we live here on earth. Let me read for you 1 Corinthians 3:11 again. I had read it for you, but now I want you to listen to it again. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest on the day, will be disclosed, because it will be revealed by the fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Did you see that? That when Jesus comes, he will test what sort of work we have done. So you say to yourself this morning, what kind of life then should we live here on earth to give us eternal dividends? Listen to what Paul says to Timothy, who's a pastor of a church. And Paul here in this context is addressing affluent Christians. You know, Christians that have means, the rich. Now, based on the world of antiquity, everyone here this morning, just about everyone here this morning, would be considered what? Rich. All of us. Compared to the ancient world. Listen to what Paul says. His advice to Timothy, to those who are affluent. Verse 17 of chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but to do what? But set your hopes on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Did you know you can enjoy your riches? It's good to enjoy what God has given you, but not to set your hopes on it. Verse 10. They are to do good, that is to do good with what they have, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Paul says by doing all that, they are storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future. What type of future? So that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Did you get that? Paul is saying here that the tendency for us as Christians, especially 21st century Christians who have so much stuff, is to put our minds and our affection, our hearts on the things that we've accumulated. Paul says here, be careful that use these things is storing up treasure in heaven for future rewards. Beloved, I love what R.C. Sproul said when he was alive. He says, what we do now and how we live our lives now counts for eternity. So in conclusion, ask yourself, are we like that woman in the ancient city of Pompeii? Are we like her holding on to our stuff? You know, only you can answer that. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. But are we holding to our stuff like her? If so, it's just a matter of time before we get caught in the wake and in the rain of our own Vesuvius of destruction and loss. God's word to us, and Jesus' word to us this morning, is for us not to do that, for us to store up treasure in Him, in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can destroy, where nobody can break in and steal. Beloved, don't be pulled down by earthly treasures, but rather be pulled up by heavenly treasures. As Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be indeed. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as you've been teaching us here in the Sermon on the Mount, for us to treasure not earthly things for themselves, but to take our treasures here on earth, what we do here on earth, and store them up ahead of us in heaven. Lord, we pray that as we seek, as we've learned to do good works, as we seek to obey you, that the good that we do, Father, will have the right motive. Lord, we pray that what we do, it doesn't matter how sacrificial it is, whether it's big sacrifice or little sacrifice, that if we do it with the right heart, we're storing up treasure for eternity. Lord, my fear, Lord, is that not that your people here this morning will not go to heaven. Lord, we know that in your word that those of us who are justified by faith alone and not by works, that our eternal destiny has already been determined from eternity past. That a true believer can never lose their salvation. But our fear, God, our fear, Lord, is that we're wasting away, Father, the reward that you have set before us. the Lord, that we're taking our time and taking our talents and taking our treasures and whatever they may be and been putting too much devotion to them. Lord, forgive us. Teach us, Lord, to hold on to the things of this world loosely with our hands so that when you do take them, Lord, it will, our goods won't go with our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we will live lives of obedience and store up that treasure in heaven. So when, Father, either when we meet you in glory or when you come from glory to meet us in the second return, we will be ready. We will not get to heaven with just the skin of our teeth, but Lord, our good works will prove to be not wood, hay, or stubble, but precious stone, the precious gold and silver as well. So, Father, we pray this in Jesus' name, amen and amen.